Hello, this is Elvira, and I welcome you to the Fruit Factory. We are a prophecy and teaching ministry that is helmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. It is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. True Israel here is those who are still scattered around the world, not those who we know as Israel, currently living on the land of Israel as of August 2024. So today I'm going to continue a series that I had started beforehand that the Lord made me begin spontaneously. He just told me, I need you to talk about this issue called sin, confession, repentance. And so the series is called Stop the Leak. And this will be part three of that series. And I am going to talk about repentance. In part one and two, we talked at length about sin, different kinds of sin, what confession is. Please, confession is different from repentance. So, if you've not listened to those teachings, please go and listen to them. There is a part one and a part two, and the series is called Stop the Leak. You can find it on the website, thefruitfactory.co, or you can find it here on broadcast. This is actually a series that I do not have written down on the website, but I'm only speaking it here on broadcast, and then I'm adding the audios to the website. So there are these concepts that Christians fail to understand. They can be in church for years, but no one really told them about what sin is, what confession is, what repentance is. Confession and repentance are not the same. Many people do not even know why they should not really sin. That is why they will accept things that are unacceptable to God and then call themselves Christians. If that's you, please stop it. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you do not want to walk the path, the way that Jesus Christ walked, if you do not want to live free of sin, free of iniquity, free of defilement, please stop calling yourself a Christian. You're making God look bad. You are making God look bad. You are misrepresenting him and you are using his name in vain. You're calling yourself a believer in Christ, but you defend abortion. You defend homosexuality. You ask people to that. You tell people that love is love. They should just allow people to love each other. That abortion is self-care. Abortion is healthcare. My body, my choice. And all of this foolishness. If that is you, please stop calling yourself a Christian. You're misrepresenting the gospel. You're misrepresenting Christ and you are making God look seriously bad. You think that because you are accepting of what the culture and what Satan preaches in this world, you are making Christianity better for the people around you. But it is the opposite. Christ has no desire to be compared even remotely with Satan and his ways. He does not want any affiliation with sin. So when you sit there and you're trying to act like the feminist Christian, you all women living with the spirit of Jezebel in you, you are making God look bad and you are making yourself look very foolish. Because you are proving that you do not know the God you serve. If you're part of that demonic Jezebel-filled feminist movement, please remove the label of a Christian, pack your bags, and cross over to the other side where the heathens are. I just had to say that. Now, when we talk about repentance, repentance should not be confused with confession. Confession is going before God and agreeing with Him about the things you have done that are rebellious to His word. So, agreeing with Him about your sin. But repentance, on the other hand, means to commit to forfeit those sinful things and change your mind, change your thinking, rewire your system, your database, the things that you know to be true about that sin that you confessed, and definitely turn away from it. That is repentance. Repentance comes through conviction, and it comes through revelation. It does not suffice to say, God, I want to do it again. If you do not understand why you should not do it again, you are bound to do it again, and very easily so. That is why you cannot stop sinning, because you never actually change your mind. You never changed your thinking about your sin. You never took the time to ask yourself, why am I sinning? Why can I not stop committing adultery? Why can I not stop fornicating? Why does my mouth keep lying? You have not pinpointed the why, so you've never really repented. Please listen to me. Many people live in the church and they do not know these very basic things. And that's why the church is filthy. Because your pastor was so much more interested by your tithe and offering than by the fact that he was tasked with the duty to teach you the things that would save your soul. You may think you're a Christian and you know this, but I ask you to please listen and listen closely. Repentance is not about closing your eyes and crying to God because you feel bad about something that you did. It is not about saying to God, Father, I want to do it again. That is not repentance. We've talked about confession for a long time, for at least 20 minutes. So you can listen to that in the part 2 of this teaching. I will not dwell on that in this part. But confession is when you sit there and you say, God, Lord, I have failed you. I am so sorry that I sinned against you, and so forth. And most Christians know the concept. And most Christians actually spend their entire lives confessing, and they never repent. They never actually repent. Repent means to turn away from doing whatever you just confessed. So you keep confessing the same sins. It's been 20 years. You've not stopped being verbally abusive to people. You still call yourself someone who just has anger issues. But the problem is that you are demonically possessed with the demon, the spirit of anger. There is such a thing. You received that from your bloodline. Usually, if you watch, one of your parents had the same tendencies of being angry, or your grandmother, or there is an aunt in your family that does the same. Or what is very often is that all of you deal with that in some way, because it is bloodline iniquity. So you will continue to say to God, Father, please help me with my anger issues. Jesus, I repent of having lashed out at that person in that way. But you have not repented, because you're going to do it tomorrow again. And then the day after that. and then after that. Actually, as I'm speaking, you probably just cursed out your son or your daughter. Why? Because you fail to repent. You are confessing the sin. You are not repenting from it. So, all sin comes from darkness. You know, there are two kingdoms. There is a kingdom of light and there is a kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light is our Lord's kingdom, Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of Satan. Darkness is ignorance of the truth. And light is knowledge of the truth. And the truth is Christ. He doesn't say the truth, tell the truth, or whatever. He is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't give life. He is life. He doesn't tell the truth. He is the truth. A bit like it is said, God is love. God is love. He is the thing. So you all out there who want to say that love is not love. If you're a Christian and you say you use that word, I rebuke you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. If you are a Christian and you defend that love is love, I rebuke you. Love is not love. You see, this is what, when humanism comes in, when you think that things are the way that you say it. And Satan is the champion of humanism. And you sit there and you act like the devil himself, and then you call yourself a child of God. I rebuke you. If you're mad at what I'm saying, the email is hello@thefruitfactory.co. Send your complaints. I will receive your email. If I see that it's a complaint, I will just trash it. I won't even read it. Because there is no place for foolishness. Not here. Not at the Fruit Factory. There is no tolerance. There is no complacency in this place. So, complete, true repentance is not only about pleading the blood of Jesus to be cleansed of your sin. It is about being moved out of darkness into the light. That is true repentance. Out of ignorance into the truth. That is true repentance. Out of the pit into the daylight. Into the glory of God. Are you following? Because there is a kingdom of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. You can be living in the kingdom of darkness, yet you say that you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Savior, your Lord and Savior, and you have believed in your heart that he died for your sins and rose again and all of that. Okay. Thank you, glory, hallelujah, Jesus Christ, that you did all of this for us. And it is thanks to that sacrifice that we can walk from the darkness into the light. But you are not walking from the darkness into the light. You are remaining in darkness, but you say that you have repented. You say that you are a child of God, but you live in ignorance. You live in darkness. That is why you defend things that Jesus wants nothing to do with. You defend things that he hates, things that he called abominations. You defend that because you are Satan's child. You do not belong to Jesus. You are not in the light. Because what light does, light cancels out darkness. Light restores the disorders of your soul. Many of you
are in the church, but you have disorders in your soul. I'm not talking about mental disorders, because that is also a disorder of the soul, because the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So if you have mental disorders, it is a disorder of the soul. But I'm talking about disorders in your emotions, disorders in how you view things, in how you receive information. You do not receive information like a child of light. You receive information like a child of the world, because you live in the world. You never got out of darkness. When you accept Christ, you are positioned to be able to walk in his light. But to be able to actually walk in that light, you need to get out of the darkness. You need to get out of the things that people who live in darkness do, that they condone, that they support, and that they defend. You need to get out of that into the things that God loves, that he condones, that he defends, his righteousness, as it is spoken about in the Bible. So, true repentance is getting to know the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed about that specific act that you made or that you keep doing that is sinful in his sight, and choosing to understand, integrate, and apply that truth to your life. I will reiterate. True repentance is getting to know the truth. The truth is light. Okay? We established that, right? That truth is Christ. Christ is light. You read in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then there is a whole that is poetic, and I'm going to read it out to you. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This is in the New King James Version. You will see in the NIV version says, and the darkness did not overcome it. So he is life, he is light, and he is truth. So to get out of darkness into the light, so into Christ, what takes you into Christ is the truth. And the truth is not what you have made up with your own mind. The truth is not what you've listened to on podcasts, on YouTube exposés, in Hollywood movies, on the news, what you were taught in school. All of that are satanic systems of programming. Systems that program you to look at darkness as if it was light, and to look at light as if it was darkness. We live in the world where evil is good and good is evil. It is the world in which we live. No matter how much we want to look at it, it is just the truth. Especially if you live in the West. That is much more your reality. There are still a lot of societies that are quite conservative, and they are not confused about genders and whatnot. But that is coming in the future, very close future, that this thing will take over the entire world. This confusion that we see in the West when it comes to is a man, is a woman, should men and women, should men and men mate? Should women and women mate? It will overcome the rest of the world, because it has been prophesied in Revelation. And there is no way that you, us, this generation, will surpass
or will have an opinion that will be deemed more important in God's eyes than his own word, than the testimony of Jesus Christ. Prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ, and he's most definitely going to accomplish that. He said that the beast that will rise will have no desire for women. He will be gay. And so that spirit of homosexuality, because he will rule over the entire earth, that spirit will spread over the entire earth. Similarly, it is the principle of impartation, the principle of spiritual transfer. And I've talked about that in quite a lot of detail in this prophecy or this teaching called The Devourers of Israel and the Church. So you can go and look it up there. I went in a lot of depth into why following the wrong person, having the wrong leader, listening to the wrong prophet, the wrong pastor, how devastating it is. It is so devastating, we do not quite understand it. But the Lord explained why it is so devastating in Micah chapter 3. He talks about it in Jeremiah chapter 23 as well. So even if you do not want to take the time to listen to those, to that teaching, please go and read those scriptures. So, repentance is letting Christ touch the innermost parts of your heart and shine his light on that part of you that still believes the devil's lies and causes you to sin. Once his light has shone on that dark part of you, you will not return to it. That is true repentance. If it shines long enough, if you allow it to go deep enough in your heart, you will understand why your sin is destroying you, and you will begin to reject that sin. And what causes repentance? What causes deliverance? Because repentance is also deliverance. When you repent of something and you really go through this process that I am talking about, not the process where you go and you cry in front of God and then you stand up from your knees and go and do the same thing again. Not that kind. What I'm talking about here, out of the darkness into the light, that is deliverance as well. Repentance is supposed to deliver you from whatever is keeping you in bondage to that sin. True repentance will cause deliverance from whatever is keeping you in bondage in whatever sin you are repenting of. You see, when the light of Christ touches you, there is no going back. There is no going back. You still struggle with sin because you have had no encounter with Christ. You have had no encounter with his light. You have had no encounter with the truth. Quite the opposite. You are hostile to the truth. I spoke here at the beginning of this recording, and I spoke to the feminist women. The spirit of Jezebel is destroying your life. And I know that there are many who will listen to it and who will react, because that demon will start agitating itself inside of them. And all of the lies they have been buying, all of the lies they have been swallowing and accepting, all of that darkness, they live in that state. You understand? So when they listen to the truth, they are hostile to the truth. You get what I mean? So when you get that humility that is necessary for repentance, and you actually allow God to shine his light,
to open your eyes and to unplug your ears that you may hear the truth and you may see the truth. Once that happens, whatever was keeping you in bondage cannot keep you in bondage any longer, because it has the light has gone into the core of where that demon, that spirit, that stronghold, that belief, where it was sitting in your at your core. Jesus has dealt with it at that core. But for that to happen, you need to be humble first. Second, you need to actually accept the truth for what it is. You need to accept that the word of God is the truth. You need to accept that his truth is absolute and is not negotiable. You have to accept that it would mean that everything that you believe that is not in accordance with that truth is actually darkness. And then you will have to recognize that you live in that darkness. Once you are at that stage, then you are ready to receive the truth. If you're not at that stage, whatever truth will come your way, you will try to defend yourself. You will try to defend your darkness. You will try to reason out with the truth. You cannot do that, because the truth is immutable. It is unchanging. It is absolute. There is no negotiating with the truth. It is just true. The truth is true. Whatever else is around is just wasting their energy and their time. And it is also in self-deception. You cannot negotiate with the truth, because the truth is infallible. It is absolute. There is no gray area. Either you do it or you don't. Either you know it or you don't. If you know it and you do not do it, then you don't know it. You think you do, but you do not. Because one thing that the truth does is that when you get to know the truth, there is no unknowing the truth. You can't go back. You can't. And if you go back, then you are a lost cause. And the Bible actually talks about you. Those people who know the glory of God, who get to know the truth, who know the gospel, who have experienced and have lived and have walked in the light, those people, when they turn around to go into the darkness, their souls are gone. You think I'm not? Let me read it out to you. Hebrew chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Let's read this again. This verse is saying that trying to get people who have known God, who have partaken in the Holy Spirit, who know what it is like to live in the truth, to walk in the light, who have tasted the goodness of God, trying to get these people to repent and return and so forth, is as if you're asking Jesus to die a second time. This is what the word of God says. And being an apostate, which is turning completely from Christ, is not the same as being a backslider. So if I've been talking right now, if you've been listening to me now for about half an hour, and you recognize yourself in part of the things that I'm talking about. Do not allow yourself to go all the way to the end of the spectrum where you completely turn from Christ. Don't allow it. Because once you turn, there is no coming back. It means that you have weighed truth. You have weighed lies. You have weighed in the balance light and darkness. And you've chosen darkness over light. So do not allow yourselves to get to that end of the spectrum. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians, never were once Christians. And then there are some who were, but then turned and rejected Christ completely. And then there is the reprobate mind who thinks he has believed in Christ, but hasn't. They create versions of Christ to believe in. You are reprobate because you do not even fear God. A Christian would not begin to make up things in their minds about what Christ would or would not do, about where he would or would not go, where what he would allow or would not allow. Not when there is a book called the Bible that exists and is available and is a requirement for all true Christians to study in detail. Those people, you should not even be wasting your time trying to convince them, because they will waste your energy. They will drain your energy. I'm speaking out of experience, because they have created in themselves an idol of their own minds. And the idol is lifted so high up in their spirit, in their soul. You cannot talk to them. You cannot transfer the truth to them. There are some people who used to be Christians who have turned away from God and rejected him so much that is the place where they are today. And when the Bible talks about the great falling away, it is exactly what will happen. People will get so engorged in their own minds, in their own thoughts, in their own definitions of life. This is the very meaning of a humanistic society, where your thoughts, your needs, your pulses, it is all about you. If you have known the goodness of Christ, you have felt what it feels like to live in his light, and you have succeeded in lifting yourself up so high that you are unable to listen when God speaks. You are unable to take into account the things that his word says. And you are actually capable of saying that you abandoned that stuff because for whatever reason. Once you turn like that, there is no going back. So do not allow yourselves, if you're listening to this and that's you, or those are your tendencies, do not allow yourselves to be overtaken by this spirit of the Antichrist. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist in these end times will tell you that your own mind is more important. Your body is more important. My body, my choice. The spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist will make you not even be scared to blaspheme God. The spirit of the Antichrist. This spirit will make you start looking at things that happen around you and see how how inconvenient, right, it is for you to actually stick with God, the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist will exalt everything else with the word of God. You will sit and you will want to compare everything that is around you with what God says in order to find ways to justify your stance that does not apply with the word of God. If you're doing that, the spirit of the Antichrist is upon you. You need deliverance. I was looking, this actually happened maybe yesterday. I was on Amazon buying an ebook. It was an ebook that was about religious scripture. I'm just going to put it that way. I don't want to go into the detail because the most important thing is the comment that was made on the reviews. I was reading through the reviews, trying to find which format I would buy, because there were different editions and so forth of that book. And then I come across a comment that says, you know, I was actually really worried that God hated women, because I've been looking for books for information, you know, about women. And why I read the Bible, I just, each time I read it or each time I read it, I just thought, so does God really hate women this much? Please, I'm reporting, because something like this would never come out of my mouth. So does God really hate women this much? But thank God that I found this scripture. Why was it removed from the Bible? It was removed from the Bible really probably because they wanted to manipulate women and steal and take away their rights or whatever other nonsense this woman was talking about. And I read that and I was like, this is a reprobate mind. She thinks she's a believer, but she isn't. How can you, with your mouth, with your fingers, type something like that and argue, make a case for it? That when you open the book, when you open this Bible, what you see, what you're reading from it is that God hates women. It means that your soul is soaked in darkness. You live there. You go to bed in darkness. You wake up in darkness. You eat your breakfast in darkness. You go to work in darkness. Then you have lunch in darkness. And then you have your snack in darkness. Your midday snack is in darkness. Your late evening snack is in darkness. Your dinner is in darkness. Your dessert is in darkness. And then you go to bed again in darkness. And you wake up the next morning where? In darkness. You see things like this. She went and looked for the Apocrypha to try and make a case for the rejection that she has for the Word of God. She's going to look into the lost books to make a case for the fact that she actually hates God. Because if your mouth can open and say out of your, goodness me, if you can open your mouth and say these things, and these are things you actually believe, that you sat down and you read the Bible repeatedly and all you saw is that God hates women. What is, you see the level of wickedness. And this is a woman who will stand and tell people that she's a Christian. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you do not want to love God, to love His word, and to do what His word says, please remove the Christian sticker off of your forehead, pack up a bag, and go to the other side with the heathens and stop making God look bad. Can you believe this? I read this comment. I was like, these are Christians. People who call themselves Christians. You will die so quickly when these tribulations start shaking things up on us here. Gone. Before you can look around, the darkness has swallowed you whole. Unbelievable. And then there was this other person. It's like this. I said, is it because now I have this kind a different perspective of since I've been doing this broadcast and writing these prophecies, because all my eyes did were detect these kind of comments. There was another woman who said, I am so glad that I found this book. It is so enlightening to know more. And for those who say that Enoch was a flat earther, he's definitely not a flat earther. Come on. And then she goes on. He said that he walked until this end or that end or whatever, trying to justify why the actual cosmology of the Bible is incorrect. Can you believe that? And then she will stand boldly and tell you that she's read the Bible, she's read the Apocrypha, she's read all the versions of the forbidden books. She will tell you that she's a Bible scholar. But no, you live in darkness, my sister. If you have to defend that satanic system of astrology with the round globe and the spinning earth, and whatever, when there are about 5,000 different scriptures that tell us that the world is fixed, it does not move. Which Bible do you read? How can you go outside of the Bible that we know as it is, right? Still take other scripture and find a way, look for ways to justify your reprobate mind, to justify the lies that you want to believe. So you are faced with the truth, but you reject the truth so much that you are on a quest. You are on a quest to find how you can find the different excuses, how you can twist things to give credibility to the darkness that is inside of you, instead of embracing the truth that you can so clearly see. But because you are so corrupt and you live in so much darkness, you are unable to dwell in the light. As I'm speaking this, I had no intention of speaking about any of this. This is the Holy Spirit taking over. In every way, I had my little bullet points in front of me, what I wanted to talk about, but the Holy Spirit had another plan. I could not believe what I was reading. I didn't know that. You know, usually you know the fake Christians, you can tell, and they don't bother. Right? They try to say that, they try to discredit the Bible, or they try to be like, you know, it's not that, you know, you don't know. Do we really know? You know, stuff like that. Or they divert. You try to get deep into something, they change subjects, they change topics because, you know, they are not real Christians. But they do not go out of their way to try and explain the darkness, the lies. So, repentance, as we were saying, is getting out of the darkness into the light. How? By allowing the truth that the Lord has revealed about whatever it is that you're believing that is keeping you in darkness, to shine in your heart and to correct, bring back to order your thoughts, your emotions, your will, your very will about that topic, to bring it back to order and in alignment with what the truth says. Once you get there, then you've repented. And until you get there, you will not be able to stop whatever sin it is that you're sinning. You won't be able to walk in the light. And so, unless there is that mental rewiring that happens, unless there is the spiritual awakening, your repentance is incomplete. And you will not be able to build a robust faith in Christ that is submitted to him and obedient to him, because you will constantly be fighting between darkness and light, darkness and light, because you will be in this state where, because your belief system has not been altered, has not been modified to fit the belief system of the kingdom of God, the belief system of light, you will be fighting between both sides all the time. That is why Christians say things like, you know, we are all sinners. Yes, are we all born sinners? Obviously we are. But that is usually not used in that way. That is usually used in the way to say, look, don't judge me for my sin. I am going to sin no matter what. So let me just sin and tell myself that I am a sinner. You understand what I'm saying? Or that is what will make some people think that they can just go about their lives and Jesus will just accept all the filth they live with, because they've not understood that you cannot be in darkness and claim to be in light. You cannot hold those belief systems that keep you doing, abusing your body, abusing your mind. Every day you are overeating. You overeat. That's gluttony. It's iniquity. You keep overeating. Some of you don't even think that you're sinning. But it's a sin. You see? So when you start understanding that overeating is a sin, the drunkenness you partake in will stop, because drunkenness is over consumption. So you're going beyond the limit. That is gluttony. To me, I advise, do not drink alcohol at all, because it alters your natural state of being and you do not want that. But even if those of you who choose to drink, how do you get drunk? You get drunk because of gluttony. And usually your system will signal it to you, getting tipsy, right? But you will walk right past that limit, because no part of you has received the light at the innermost part of your spirit, of your soul, of your reasoning, of your mental conditioning. You have not really comprehended this thing called gluttony. You have not understood that when you're asked not to indulge in gluttony, it's actually for your own good. You have not understood that, I'm having some difficulty speaking clearly today. Please bear with me. You have not understood that indulging in gluttony defiles your body. So whatever relationship you could be building with the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to build it Because where does the Holy Spirit dwell? He dwells in our bodies. The Word of God says that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So when you're indulging in gluttonous activities, who are you hurting? First of all, your own body is not designed to overindulge in anything. That's the first thing. So scientifically speaking, you are damaging your cells with gluttony. That is why you will overeat, then get overweight. Become overweight and then get diabetes and get different kinds of sicknesses because your cells are now malfunctioning. Where did it begin? It began with gluttony. And in that state, what kind of fellowship do you think that you can have with the Holy Spirit? Whose temple is your body? Seeking to be in good health is a spiritual principle. It has its physical benefits, of course. We need to live, we need to be strong, we need to be able to be working here for the Lord and so forth. Yes. But there is a spiritual element to keeping this body clean. You see, there are elements in the law. I'm not going to return to the law. Oh, we're in the new covenant, all of that. Yes. Let me just say this. There are elements in the law that pertains to the diet. That if you read and if you study, it is actually to preserve your vessel. It preserves your body. It is good for you, just health-wise. And the better health you have, the more capable you are to work and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And the better health you have, the more capable you will be to fellowship with the Holy Spirit because your body is the temple. So the cleaner your temple, the better you will be enabled, or the more you will be enabled to have these fellowships in the Spirit with your Father. So when you are asked not to overdrink, not to overeat, do not indulge in this and that, do not stop the indulging. Even you can even abuse, have gluttony of sex, where now you're hurting your body because you will not stop. You won't put some limit, let the body rest. So you begin abusing your own body. So when you sit down and you start to understand these things, and you sit on these truths, you sit on it long enough, you meditate on it long enough, you will see that if you had humbled yourself and did all of the things that we talked about earlier that you have to do before even being able to receive the truth, if you are in a state where you are actually receptive to the truth, when you start integrating this information and really meditating on it and really believing in what you're reading, in what you're learning, you will realize that the next time there is a bottle of wine in front of you, because the Holy Spirit would have been able to shine the light of that truth inside of you, you will look at that bottle of wine, you will say, you know what? I'll have some water. It is not a natural process. We cannot do this by ourselves. This is why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because there is no way that you will be able to come to these conclusions by yourself. Because by yourself, you live, you are ruled by your flesh. But the process of transitioning from the flesh to the Spirit, it goes through this repentance. Because once you've integrated, for example, the example I just took of gluttony. Now you will remember all of the times you abused your body with this thing. And it will not be a matter any longer of crying because you feel bad. It will be because you actually understand what you've done, what you've been doing. You understand how it has been hurting you and how it has been hurting God. You will understand how you have been blocking the capacity of the Holy Spirit to intervene in your life. You will understand how you have been paining your father by the abuse of substances, of drinks, of food, and so forth. You have been dishonoring him because he paid a price for that body. It is not yours. So as you think about the sin that you've been doing, once that light has been deposited in your spirit, you begin to think about all the times you were in darkness, about that specific sin. And it touches you, it tears your heart in a different way. It tears your heart in a different way. And if you pray about it with sincerity, and you say, Lord, I actually did not know that this is what I had been doing all along. I didn't. I have been sinful. I have been filthy before you. I have been abusing your grace, abusing your kindness, abusing your love, and abusing myself. Lord, I repent. That repentance will come from the core, because you have understood that the wiring, the DNA of your soul has been altered. The light has shone on that place in your life. And once you know this, you can't unknow it. You can't. You cannot walk around any longer and eat however you used to eat before. Because each time you will want to do it, the Holy Spirit will come back and remind you. He will ring a bell, ding, 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 ding. Remember, the light will start dominating the darkness because the rewiring happened at the core of your being. You see, you have to go beyond all of the excitement in church. You have to go beyond sitting and saying, oh, yes, glory, hallelujah. Saying that you sing worship songs when you listen to demonic artists that bow to Baphomet. You have to go beyond all of the ooh-la-la, as we say in French. You have to bypass all of that. Let all of that go by and sit with the truth. Sit with it. Why can you not stop fornicating? Let's have this conversation. Let's have this conversation. Why can you not stop fornicating? Sit down and think. Sit down and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please go into my heart, search. Search me, O Lord. Search me and test me. Bring up from the inside of me what is malfunctioning. Where is the darkness? Where is it, Lord? Shine your light on that darkness, that I will defeat fornication today. I'm telling you, you pray this. You pray this sincerely. You pray this with your entire soul, your heart, your devotion, you will be transformed. The Holy Spirit will start bringing up things inside of you. This thing happened when you were 3 years old. You actually saw your aunt having sex with a man when you were 5. And then you saw your mom and your dad doing the deeds. And then you saw... Bringing up, you were exposed to porn at the age of 9, and then you were abused at the age of 12. It will just come bringing up and bring, you see, the darkness will start getting exposed and exposed and exposed. And when it does like that, thank God, Because this is repentance. And that repentance will come with your deliverance. By the time the Holy Spirit is done with you, you will be on the floor crying, not because of your fake Christianity that you do with God, but because you will begin to understand the light will be tearing that darkness apart. It will hurt. Your chest will burn. But that's good. That's good. And people do not want that. They don't want to go through that. They'll rather go to church and say, glory, hallelujah. Because the real work is hard. And it burns. It's the fire, the refiner's fire. But once that is done, once the Lord brings these things up, and you repent, and you repent, and you understand. You understand the brokenness, really. What was underneath it all? Your repentance starts acting as a deliverance. And as you pray about it, you pray to God, you say, Father, please restore my soul. Please mend the broken pieces of me that I will look at fornication and I will reject it. Help me overcome this. Deliver me, my Lord, my Redeemer. You died to redeem me. You see, this is why Jesus Christ, the power that is in that cross, what he did on that cross, there is no word that will ever be enough to explain that. Because this is the moment you call upon the Redeemer, the one who said that I have been sent to heal the brokenhearted. And you call upon the healer and you say, Father, heal me. Jesus Christ, restore me. Remove from me all of this iniquity. Take away all of the trauma, that I will reject this sin and that I will be set free. He said that he came to set the captives free. This is how you're taken out of the darkness into the light. Out of the darkness into the light. And you do that. Next point, your adultery. Then you take the way you tell lies. Why do you tell lies? I'm telling you, this is deliverance. True repentance is deliverance. And then you engage in spiritual warfare. You cancel, you bind, and you cast out all of those spirits. And you rebuke them. And you go and you read the Psalms 91s and the Psalms 33s and the Psalms 23s. And you pray it and you call upon the name of Yahweh. You call upon the name of Jesus Christ for your healing, for your restoration. You call upon his name and he will show up. You do this. Do it and then send me an email. hello@thefruitfactory.co. I'm telling you this. I speak with so much passion because I have seen witches taken out of witchcraft and restored. But not restored halfway, complete restoration. I have seen high-level sorcerers give their life to Christ and they were willing to do the work. They were willing to sit there and say, how did I even end up in sorcery? What greed was in my heart that brought me there? It tore them apart, but it healed them. They were out of the darkness into the light. Out of the darkness into the light. I'm telling you this. Look, this is not what I had in my notes today. It isn't. I have points here. With scripture, Isaiah 53, Isaiah, Romans, and so forth. I had my little thing prepared here. But I have not even read 5% of that. The Holy Spirit has intervened. He has interjected. He said, wait, you talk about repentance? I am the one who brings you to repentance. So wait, let me tell you about this thing. This is what the Holy Spirit has done today. You cannot listen to this and go back to your sugary, wobbly, weak Christianity. Don't do it. Jesus Christ did not die for you to go back there. I rebuke you if you go back there. You cannot go back to that sin. I rebuke you if you go back there. May the Holy Spirit convict you. Because when you hear truth like this, you can't unhear it. Next time you want to go and do your fake repentance before God, may the Holy Spirit bring back to your remembrance these words that you're listening right now. May they haunt you until you do true repentance in the name of Jesus, because it will deliver you out of the darkness into the light. Out of the darkness into the light. You know, I had just recorded a prophecy and I was going to record another one. And the Lord said, no, we need to continue the series on repentance. So just go and sit. Because I had some points written down before this. So I took the points I had written down about it and I sat and I turned the microphone on. And then this is what is happening. I was not even supposed to do this audio tonight. But there is someone who needs to listen to this. That is why the Lord asked me that, no, we will record this before you do anything else. So, I hope that you will not overlook this audio. Please do not. Don't. I think that I myself will listen to this later. You know, when you're talking something, you're like, this was for me. That's how I feel right now. Glory be to God for his intervention in this conversation. And I know that someone has to. So it's for someone. It's for many of you. It is for me. When the Holy Spirit is talking, when he's edifying his body, the body of Christ, it is for all of us. No one is above reproach. No one is above saying, no, you know, I've been doing that for some time and I don't need to hear that. No. Many of you need to share this audio with all of your Christian friends, those friends with whom you go to the club, you go to the Beyonce concerts, those satanic concerts. You need to be sharing it because Christianity has become a big joke. You need to be sharing it that people may return to the light. Return to the light until it's too late. That you're like this woman that I read from that comment yesterday on Amazon, saying that she kept reading the Bible and thinking that, why does God hate women? Shut your mouth. If God hated women, would you be alive? You know, people are crazy. That there is a madness in people's heads. Satan has eaten their brains. I can't. Seriously. Look, that comment, I was speechless. Why do you even try? You hate him. You hate God. It is you who hate him. It's not him who hates you. If all you see when you read his word is that he hates you or he hates women, it means that you are the one who hates him. Can we agree on that? Can we agree on that? If you are the one rejecting the truth, is the truth the problem or is it you the problem? It is you. Goodness me. Look, thank you for tuning in. And I'll skip the outro and all that. I'll just say, let's talk on the next broadcast. Okay, goodbye.